When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, is that M? Is that some Detroit? Hour number two. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN.
It's going to take Jesus to help us out.
You think so?
Football Jesus, please. Just come on, man. Like, it's been 50 years, man. Football Jesus, come on, man. It's been since 1957. Well, that's why I laugh at Jet fans. That's why I laugh at Jet fans. And they talk about how miserable and how bad. Like, bro, I am a Lions fan. You don't even know. Like, that's how bad. We so bad that you don't even know how bad we were. That's how irrelevant we've been. At least you know, like, the Jets are. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, they play football in
Detroit?
You
don't even know how bad we are because you don't know how bad we were. You right. Don't even care to know. Like, Cowboys. How about the Cowboys thing? That's still amazing. The Jets have been to three conference championship games in the time that the Cowboys last won a Super Bowl or even got to. Like, think about it. The Cowboys haven't been in a conference championship game since 97, right? 96?
Yeah,
And the Jets have been to three. The Jets have been to three. Hey, that says a
lot. We got more playoff wins than Miami, too. let's keep it real.
But anyways, back to, the Lions. That's the second game. It's the NFC championship game. They make you wait for it, Bart. They're making you wait. That's a 6:30 tip, that kickoff. That's Fox has that one. And the last I saw, the Niners, now we'll get Alex Monaco later in the show for lunch money, but just the line right now is 7.5 in favor of the Niners.
That's a big spread.
For a championship game, like the Detroit.
With a hurt star?
They're a good team. I feel like this will be closer than that.
They should have beat Dallas. And this isn't a team, at least from the defensive standpoint, that I think – is going to out-physical the offensive line.
Yeah,
I don't think that offensive line is afraid. I think the Lions are a top four offensive line in the game. And if you look at how these dudes was pushed around, it looks like they want to rush the passer instead of play run defense. Right. They gave up 109 to Aaron Jones, and it was just down block, pull down block. Penei Sewell. A couple years ago, mm-hmm. I forgot who the quarterback was that was there, but they decided to go with Penei Sewell and not go with the quarterback, mm-hmm. has played dividends. And that's why I say sometimes it's the unpopular choice at the time. But this dude sets the tempo. How many times have you seen a lineman break down the team? Talking about this effing Detroit. Mm-hmm. We're going to let them feel us. Like, you know what I'm saying? F them. Like, that's your offensive lineman. Yeah, I think I want to run behind him. I think we good. I want to run behind that. You know what I mean? Because if he's that pissed off and we ain't even did nothing, yeah, I want to see him about that smoke. And he's been every part of it. He's dominated some of the best pass rushers. I forgot who I was watching, and it's like, man, they didn't do anything. They were trying. He's as solid as they come, and it's crazy, right? Because you always think, man, your best lineman, and Renfrew is the best center in all of football. He's all pro for the Lions. Mm-hmm. And then they got the other guy on the other side. Taylor doesn't start. But they have one of the top offensive linemen as far as even accolades and stuff like that as far as being selected. But when you think about those guys setting the tempo, right, and you remember these Jets teams and how they were built. They were built from the offensive line. The offensive line was a big part of the identity.
Always the foundation.
So you look at – I forgot I just saw – it was something on Instagram. They were saying a team that everybody should get. And they had the Jets signing a tackle from the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And then if they can do that, this guy looked like he was a beast. I'm assuming if they say they should get him, then he rated high in the PPF and all that stuff. But then do that and draft a kid from Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah. But let's stay on these championship games here. We'll do plenty of time to talk about Jets and the draft and everything else. The Lions have never been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they won one four championships.
Can you name the other three teams that have never played in the Super Bowl? One of them is
Houston
obvious.
Texans, but that's unfair because they're pretty much expansion team.
Right. They're
because
new.
The Tennessee Titans have played in there, and that's their formerly the Tennessee
the
Titans.
Right.
The Houston Oilers, I'm sorry.
Right.
But which became the Titans, right? Mm-hmm. Who took all their records and stuff. So They never been. And it's one more. Arizona played.
There's two more.
It's two more?
Two more franchises. That
well, I said the Lions.
The Lions are one of four.
Okay, so the Lions.
So you said Texans, that's one. There's two others. They've never been in a Super Bowl. Now, when you think about Texans expansion, you know, there's another team in that
same
category.
Well, Jacksonville's never been in a Super Bowl.
Jacksonville Jaguars. They got to an AFC championship, but they never got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, never been in a Super
Bowl. So that's Jacksonville. Okay, one more. I think this one's pretty obvious.
Yeah, give me 5 seconds because sometimes I forget. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was gonna say the Purple People Eaters, but that don't matter because I think they were in there with Foster.
Think of your Ravens, and
yeah, well, Cleveland, I guess. Okay.
Yes, the Browns,
but that don't count, man.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
They won championships with Jim Brown.
That's the same as the Lions. The Lions won four championships, but when the Super Bowl era began, they didn't get there. Neither did the Browns.
Yeah, I got it.
So two franchises that have been around forever since the start of football.
See, but I'm not tripping.
They can get there before the Browns do, which would be a miracle. Like, if you think about it.
The Browns are the Ravens, so it's kind of hard. Like, the Browns are the Ravens, so I don't judge the
Original Browns.
Yeah,
basically
everybody got up and moved. They took all the front office.
So you're considering the Browns an expansion team? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because Ozzie Newsome was with the Browns, and when they moved, he moved with the Ravens.
But didn't they get the history? Didn't the Browns, like, it's like the
It's weird because the Baltimore
The Charlotte Hornets got their history, even though they were the Bobcats. They took the history from the Pelicans and all that stuff.
But we know. It's like the Baltimore Colts. It was in Baltimore.
Right.
Right? So, like, you know, it all depends on how
they
look at it.
They moved to Indianapolis.
But I look at Cleveland as pretty much an expansion team. Came back in, like, 98 or something, whenever they came back. So it's not as bad. But the only corporate – well, in Jacksonville is an expansion team, too. So that's,
they are.
So it's pretty much three expansion teams that's never been there.
Fair enough.
I wonder how many teams – have never won it, because I don't remember Minnesota. It's a lot more than that. I don't remember Minnesota ever winning the Super Bowl, and I don't ever remember the Los Angeles Chargers ever winning a Super Bowl.
Okay, well,
remember for a long time. Remember for a long time, Philadelphia was that team that had never won a Super Bowl.
Correct. All right, there are 12 teams that have never won a Super Bowl.
Damn,
can you name them?
Yeah, I'm going to go with. The Atlanta Falcons.
Correct.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
The Cleveland Browns, if you want to count them. The Carolina Panthers. They got there twice. It's crazy. The Carolina Panthers have been to Super Bowl twice. One with Aaron Foster, meaning the Foster kid, and then one with Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the Houston Texans, of course.
Yes.
Let's say the Cowboys. I'm just playing. the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Correct.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Correct.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Correct.
And is that 12?
No, you're at 10. You're missing two.
Huh.
Well, actually, you didn't say your Lions, but we already know the Lions.
Yeah, so yeah. The Lions.
So with the Lions, you're at 10.
And the Tennessee Titans have been in Super Bowl.
But they haven't won it. So that's 11. Won, yeah. There's still one more. I don't think you mentioned this team. If you did, you said it fast.
Damn, hasn't won it?
They were one of your biggest rivals in your division with Baltimore.
Oh, Cincinnati.
Yes.
Damn, that's right. They went there, John Candy, Boomer Esiason, Norman.
Yeah, they got there. But again, this is about winning it.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So again, that game, again, I feel like.
That's a bigger number than you think, man. That's a
12,
lot.
12, yeah, out of 32.
Is it like that in basketball, too? Like, is it that big of a team? Like, because, like, you know what? Basketball has pretty much been won by either Houston Rockets, the Detroit the Detroit Pistons, the Bulls, the Lakers.
Oh, there's a
the
lot.
Celtics.
Actually,
and the Heat.
Out
and
of
now
30?
Golden State.
Out of 30.
Well, I would probably say it's about 22 that didn't make it. I feel like it's only been like 10 teams that have won the championship in basketball.
Wait, hang on a second. I've got.
We know the Pistons, like, it's either the Pistons, Rockets, Lakers, Celtics.
Rockets have won.
You got a couple one-offs, which is pretty much like the Sixers, like one-offs.
There's 10.
Miami was a dynasty.
There's 10, because Denver last year ended their drought. They had never. So there's 10.
10 teams that has ever won a championship.
10 NBA teams that have never won. They've been to the finals. There's some of these teams have been there, but they haven't raised the trophy, whether it was the Larry O'Brien or whether it was just a trophy. Do you want me to tell you them?
Yeah.
Are you interested?
Yeah, because I thought it was way more teams that didn't win.
Okay. All right. The Nets.
The Washington Bullets.
The Hornets. No, the Bullets did win.
What?
Yeah, the Hornets.
Okay.
All right. The Pacers.
Damn.
The Clippers.
Damn.
The Grizzlies.
Okay.
Remember they started
expansion.
In Vancouver.
Clippers were more.
The Timberwolves also expansion.
Damn.
Pelicans.
Expansion.
Yeah. Well, no, Pelicans were the original Hornets from Charlotte. Remember?
Okay, so Hornets expansion then.
Yeah, yeah. But they were the Bobcats, right. The Magic.
Damn.
The Suns.
Damn, now that hurts.
And famously, the Utah Jazz.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a lot more than you thought, right?
But it's crazy. If you go back over the last maybe from the 80s.
Oh, there's only been like six franchises.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. From the 80s to now, it's only been.
That's right. That was a whole thing for a while there where it was basically.
Yeah, it's only a couple one-offs. Milwaukee.
Bulls, it was like Bulls, Lakers, and Spurs were like always winning championships. Yeah, and then the
and
Warriors.
Then Pistons and Rockets kind of sprinkled in there.
Yeah, it's. I think it's Lakers, Celtics, Bulls, Spurs, Warriors have
the majority
of all the championships. Yeah. Yeah, it's something stupid like that. All right, so let's get into the other – because this game, again, the Lions-Niners game is going to have a lot of history to it for the Lions. And then, of course, for Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, there's some history there, too.
Clock's ticking.
Yeah, let's get over the top. So there's that and, of course, the Brock Purdy story and everything else. But the one that's the real compelling one is the AFC Championship game because this is more of a Clash of the Titans kind of game. Chiefs and the Ravens, this is a close one. Baltimore's the home team, so they get the 3.5-point spread. Even the over-under is very low at 44.5. This is going to be on CBS, everybody. So this is the Tony Romo, Jim Nantz crew.
Here we go. Here we go. Like, oh, damn. Where's Phil Simms when you need him?
Yeah. So anyways, what I want you to tell me about, though, is a couple of storylines. And obviously the quarterbacks are going to be the main story. Lamar versus Patrick Mahomes. There's a lot at stake for both guys, Bart.
Yes.
Can you explain it?
Yeah, for me, like when you think about Patrick Mahomes and his quest to try and catch Tom Brady, not saying that we believe that he has to get 7 to be considered the GOAT, but he has to run off as many as he can, especially before Andy Reid decides to hang him up, which I hear reports that if Andy Reid wins a championship, he may retire, and that's what people were thinking. Maybe
really?
That's a spot for Bill Belichick to maybe step in. Yeah, because that would give him 3. Remember, Andy was the guy that couldn't win it. That's all he needed for his resume to be a Hall of Fame coach, and he's a Hall of Fame coach now. But you look at Patrick Mahomes in that quest, you know, he would be beating a MVP on the road, another great player in Josh Allen to win his 3rd Super Bowl when we thought this was the worst offensive team that he's ever had. But I try and remind people even though we say this is the worst offensive team that he's ever had, it's not the worst team that he's ever had because I think their defense is equally as dominant as it is now in comparison to what it was when his offense was dominant. So I think it all balances out as far as good teams and good players. It's just different. We're accustomed. It's like watching the Ravens and the defense isn't like the leader of the team is Lamar Jackson when, you know, that's a team and organization led by his defense and Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. But, you know, for Patrick Mahomes, he's trying to put himself in rarefied air. You know, 6 consecutive AFC championships, you know, winning. You know, he would have to be considered a mini dynasty when you think about 3 titles in like 5 years. You know, only knocked off once. And look, you know, for all the ones that Brady won to become the GOAT, he lost, you know, he lost 3 as well, right? When you consider what happened to him in some of the Super Bowls that he lost. So, like, this would put Patrick Mahomes on a path. You know, it's a lot of guys, or a lot more guys that got 2. But when you start getting 3, it's either Troy Aikman, it's Terry Bradshaw when you get to 4, Joe Montana with 5, and then it's the GOAT. I think if he gets as many titles as Joe Montana, he can elevate himself above above Tom Brady because I think when the numbers are all put down, if he plays as long as Tom Brady, he'll catch those numbers in the air. Nobody's had more passing yards in the first – you know, 5 years or the last 5 years in Patrick Mahomes. So he'll catch all the numbers. He'll have, you know, he needs to get like 5 titles, I think, for me to put him as the GOAT. But then on the other side, you know, it gets interesting because Lamar Jackson represents something in his league that was told that it couldn't do something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of, you know, threw it around and Ryan Clark threw it around a little bit too. that's saying that, you know, if Lamar wins, this is just as impactful for the black quarterback as Doug Williams winning the Super Bowl. And because, you know, Lamar Jackson was a guy just as recently as 360 days ago was put on a block and saying, hey, he's available for 2 first-round draft picks, and general managers scoffed at it, wouldn't even attempt or think about giving up 2 first-round draft picks. Just for our listeners to understand, Trey Lance, they moved up and gave up 3 first-round draft picks just to draft Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, at the time that general manager said that they wouldn't give up 2 first-round draft picks for Lamar Jackson, was already has one of the highest winning percentages in the NFL history, second only to Tom Brady, and he already had one MVP. So for him, it represents the kid that didn't conform, the kid that refused to run a 40, not because he wasn't fast, but because 40s don't matter for quarterbacks, and he didn't want them to misconstrue to his speed and say, hey, you should play receiver, like they told Randall L. that played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But remember, Randall L. was a Heisman candidate quarterback at the University of Indiana. Or people that love to hate, you know, as a Raven, love to hate Hines Ward. What people don't realize is Hines Ward was a quarterback for the University of Georgia, not a wide receiver. So, like, that narrative has been going around. So for Lamar Jackson to win, it would dispel all the stereotypes that now they believe that, yes, you can win with a black quarterback, but he has to be like Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson. Not saying that you can't win a quarterback with a Jalen Hurts, with a Colin Kaepernick, with a Cam Newton, all who went to the Super Bowl but fell short. If Lamar Jackson's able to not only beat Patrick Mahomes and get to a Super Bowl, but win one, it changes the narrative around you can't win with players that you think about his legs before his arm. And Lamar Jackson has also proven this year that he is a guy that can win with his arm, but he's so dynamic with his legs. And it'll also be a win for the, you know, the guy that, you know, we thought would have did it in Michael Vick. Right, when you think about it, oh, he wins a lot of games, but he can't stay healthy, and he can't win championships with him. And I think that's important. That's what Lamar Jackson is facing. And also a guy who didn't cut his hair, a guy that has dreadlocks, a guy that looks rough and rugged when he gets there, a guy who talks a certain way being from the South. It's so much more at stake for Lamar Jackson. But I just also love the conversation that organically starts. Right? Is this Patrick Mahomes era, or is this Lamar Jackson era?
Well, because that's a whole other conversation.
Because if he beats him, we've been trying to compare Mahomes and Josh Allen as the Tom Brady, Peyton mm-hmm. Manning debate. Then I think we'll be talking. Listen, it took a long time for Peyton to win his championship. He won his championship in like 2009. At that point, you know, Tom had already had 3. So if Lamar is able to get one, he's only 1 back of Patrick Mahomes, and it looks like, you know, you could say maybe the Kansas City window was closing and the Baltimore Ravens window is opening. And the reason why the opening hasn't been open for the last couple of years is because Lamar Jackson couldn't finish 2 seasons in a row, which is why I believe he didn't run as much this year when they were designed runs, opposed to, you know, previous years where he would run and get hurt. He protected himself, and now last week you saw him using his legs a lot more in design runs than what he had used when, you know, during the season, which those were just scrambling yards. Nobody available, scramble. Now, Lamar Jackson has shown the evolution, but it's going to be exciting because the narrative and all new conversations come up. And, you know, when you consider Lamar Jackson, we know Joe Burrow will be back, who's not afraid of Patrick Mahomes. So Patrick Mahomes, I think, will have a much more competitive class of quarterback to contest with than Tom Brady had. Tom Brady had Phillip Rivers, he had Ben Roethlisberger, and he had Peyton Manning. Like, when you look at what Patrick Mahomes would have to endure, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, now Justin Herbert, like you can't say that, you can say that this is the best crop of quarterbacks ever assembled in one division. We had Dan Marino mm-hmm. and Jim Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, Brady, you know, you're forgetting a handful of really good quarterbacks, including Brett Favre, obviously, during the Brady
No. I'm talking about
in the conference. Oh, you mean in the conference. Oh,
I'm talking about in the conference to even get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I got
like,
you.
Like, Brady just had to beat Tom or beat Ben. Like, he got Burrow, Allen, mm-hmm. Lamar, mm-hmm. Now Herbert's going to be a problem.
Yeah, yeah, you think so.
Trevor Lawrence.
You think you expect him to eventually emerge, right?
At least for a year.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And who else is a war daddy?
Tua
Tagovailoa. He was an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
So, listen. Like, when Tom was getting it in, he had to go beat us in Baltimore with Joe Flacco or Kyle Bowler. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we were always a playoff team. So it's not like I'm being funny. I'm thinking about the teams that were playoff teams there that just couldn't get it done because their quarterback wasn't good, but that was their quarterback. But they were still in the playoffs all the time.
It is interesting. Like, you
Blake
mentioned.
Blake Bortles.
What you mentioned, like, there's twofold. That's what I loved about it, is that you kind of gave three different directions to this whole thing. And the first one being, obviously, Mahomes and what he could become. If he gets there, it would be his fourth Super Bowl appearance if he wins this game. It would be a chance for a third title, which, like you said, puts him now into this category that if he can win another Super Bowl, that's three. And now, you know, now you start pushing yourself into that all-time great discussion. And then there's the Lamar story, which forget the football. It's the other stuff. It's the barriers that he's, you know, that to break. It's the stereotypes to break or continue to try to break. And it's also a guy that, as we know, has to prove that he can get it done in the playoffs because he's done it everywhere else. He's going to win a second MVP this year, more than likely. That'll be two already. And that during the season, he is his teams. All they do is what is his record again?
Like, something like 75%. Like, he's undefeated. He's damn near undefeated against the NFC.
Like, his record in a regular season is insane. So his teams do nothing but win. He's winning multiple MVPs. But now it comes down to, okay, like we say about all our MVPs.
Is he
now
Steve Nash? We asked him, is he Steve Nash?
Yeah, so, good one. So that's that story, right? And then you obviously had the whole aspect of the black quarterback and how that just continues to hang over it as well. Here's a guy that I remember from the draft that I remember people saying that this guy should be, you know, maybe he'd be better off as a wide receiver. They waited all the way to the very end of the first round to take him, even though in college
had
he did everything to show that he could play
Heisman
the pocket quarterback. Right. So that part. But the one that really gets me is the fact that, take all that away, if he gets to the Super Bowl and then he wins one,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you start doing the whole Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, because now Patrick has two.
The resume
he has
would
two
be the
MVPs.
Same. The resume
Lamar
would be the
now
same.
Would have one and two MVP. And now I was like, wait a second, like there's all both of them do is win.
Right. And so
Lamar Jackson is 58-19 in the regular season. He's 20-3 against the NFC. 20-3 is ridiculous.
Good luck in the Super Bowl if he's in the NFC if he gets there.
So, Bart, I ask you, is the AFC Championship game the Super Bowl?
Yes. I believe so. Now, can San Francisco win?
We saw what the Ravens did to the Niners, right?
It's hard to do that twice to people. But I would say it would be heavily favored because the Ravens have beaten both teams. But I would argue to say that I would put Lamar, if Lamar wins the Super Bowl, I would say it's 1A, because you know why? When when Patrick Mahomes was 27 years old, you know what his resume said? One Super Bowl.
Yep.
Two MVPs.
Yep.
So Lamar Jackson would be standing in the same place.
So he's on pace.
Right. He would be in the same place that he was at, and all he would have to do is win another one next year year after, and he would have the same resume.
There's a lot there. Dynasty of the Chiefs, if they go, it's the start of something in Baltimore that you could look at Lamar and a guy that, like you said, could have been available for two first-round picks. My God. And instead, now you have the new quarterback battle. And Josh Allen, you got to take a seat. Josh Allen, we're going to move you to
Joe Burrow. We appreciate you, but we'll holler at you in a minute.
Because you
got
to stay healthy, Joe Burrow, so you're not on this floor. And sorry, Josh Allen, we're moving you out of this room, and we're bringing you down to a lower level because Lamar now has the suite here in the penthouse along with Patrick Mahomes. That's what's riding on this game.
It's like Joe Burrow has been in that. He was in that junior suite. But then he goes from that junior suite.
He had a daily
suite.
Rate, though.
Yeah, he goes from that junior suite because he's like, man, you took Cincinnati to the Super Bowl.
You went and beat
Patrick Mahomes.
That's true.
In his house. So they gave him a junior suite, but now they're going to give him the room. You know, you go to that room and you go in there and it's two full-size beds?
Yes.
Like, damn, man, I don't need no full-size bed. It's just me.
That's all
like,
we got,
you're going to get your little ass in that little full-size bed.
That's right. That's all we got, sir. That's all we have right now, sir. I hope these accommodations are good for you.
Roll over in place.
Maybe we can eventually upgrade you as your rewards program gets better. All right. That's a great discussion on that. We'll certainly take calls on both these games, but I have a feeling that the Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes angle in this AFC Championship game is really the most the one you'll be focusing on.
Lamar has the most to lose.
And Lamar has the most to lose, which is also a very interesting point to make on this as well. All right, we'll do more on this, of course, a little bit later on. We'll get into the lunch money aspect of it when it comes to betting and everything else with Alex Monaco at 2 o'clock. But coming up, you know what time it is. It's time for Audio Files. That is next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. While they didn't just beat the defending champion Nuggets last night, they absolutely crushed them at the Garden. Knicks rolling once again to an easy win in the second half. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said this Knicks team is built for the postseason.
Like the construction, especially of the starting five, how well it works together, they all play their role perfectly. And when you have, let's just do that OG just because of the deal, like what he brings to the table every night. And you saw, like, you got a glimpse of what it would be like, right, in a postseason series where you got two studs. I mean, you got Jokic, who he's going to get his. You try to slow him down, and then you take your best defender and put him on Jamal Murray, and it's going to be hard, bud.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it is Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Seven Nation Army.
This is what I don't like is the Ravens stole that the chant from the Eagles. It's so whack.
R-A-B-N.
Isn't that
the Jets chant too, though?
Nah.
J-E-T-S?
Yeah, but it's like the Eagles. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? That's they do it with the same – you know how somebody like take somebody else's song and they rap the same flow, but they change the words up a little bit? That's what it sounds like. I don't like that. Like they you got to be better. You got to be creative and come up with something organic. You can't take somebody else's stuff. It's like between New Orleans and the Bengals.
That's your Ravens song, baby.
Man. And then they got a fat dude that takes his shirt off now, and he does. He goes. like, come on, bro.
Oh,
like,
he's doing Fireman Ed, too?
Like, yeah, like, come on, man.
It's, it's so much copycat.
He takes his shirt off. I'm like, come on, man. Like,
here's what I need, though. I need Tom to, at some point before the end of the show, if you want to really fire me up, Uprising by Muse. When you hear it, you'll know the song I'm talking about, Bart. Get you all fired up. Anyways, all right. It is, of course, a Football Friday on 98.7 ESPN. It is brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at Nissan.com today. Right now, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
Oh, by the way, the Knicks won last night. Did I fail to mention that?
Did they win or did they win?
I mean, they won by like 36 points, an absolute beatdown. Boat race, the defending champs. The Denver Nuggets came in, yes, at the end of a road trip. They did not look like they wanted any part of the Knicks defense from the start of the game. OG Anunoby was phenomenal, 26 points, 6 steals. His defense on Jamal Murray basically got Murray to just say, I'm done. I don't want to play. He was just that good. So a lot of great storylines surrounding the game last night. The Knicks, by the way, have won 5 in a row. They're 11-2 in the month. They're in 4th place now in the East, 11 games over 500, 15-5 at the Garden. Everything going well. All-star starters were announced last night. And Jalen Brunson was a favorite of the media. He was very highly regarded by the players, but in the fan vote, he finished 5th. So therefore, he finished with his weighted score tied with Damian Lillard, but because of the fan vote, Lillard won out and therefore made the team. And it is expected that Brunson will be named a reserve next week when the reserves are named to the All-Star. But Charles Barkley was raving about Jalen Brunson and how much he belongs on the All-Star team.
I'm never going to throw shade at Dame Lillard. I love him as a person and as a player, but I would have loved to see Jalen Brunson be a starter. I said this last year. I can't believe what a great player he's turned into. When he went to the Knicks last year, I was like, that's a good signing. It's one of the best signings I've ever seen for a free agent. Nobody knew he was going to be that good. He has been fantastic. He's made the Knicks relevant.
See, the comparison isn't like, well, I mean, you know, Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors. That's a great signing. Shaq signed with the Lakers. That's a great signing. Kenny Smith tried to make that point to Chuck on TNT. And that's not what he's saying. Right, Bart? Like I know you know what he's saying there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a guy who was pretty much a reserve player on the Mavericks. You signed him, and he didn't just become a good player. He became an all-star, a great player, a leader. He's just turned your franchise around. Like, how many times have you ever seen a player that sort of comes out of nowhere as a signing that nobody really paid attention to and has turned into this?
Listen, like, I can't remember one that's kind of paid instant dividends like that. I mean, like, and like, when I say paid dividends like this, of course we've seen guys like LeBron go and it's instant success. But he was unheralded. We questioned, you know, the Knicks signing him and giving him that much
money.
Some
people thought they overpaid him. Yeah.
Yeah, they thought they overpaid him. Like, you talk about, you know, like, you know, somebody, you know, being worth their weight in gold. You know, how long have I – ever since I've been in New York, they've been waiting for a point guard. And now, yeah. now they have one. And, you know, he's a guy that also is unselfish and everybody wants to play with him. Right, but he's big time too. It's like, it's not just like, you know, Jason Kidd was a facilitator. He was past his prime. He's a guy that can do it on a, you know, scoring or facilitating, and he's a guy with a slow heartbeat. And you really, really love that. Yeah, you really, really love his demeanor, man. He's like an unselfish superstar. Like I said, it reminds me so much of Chauncey Billups and what Rip Hamilton brought to the Pistons. Where
it's
like,
you know, it's a good comp.
That's why, like, you have a group of such unselfish people, because it's led by him, and it's even forces Julius Randle to be that way. And well, I think it's calmed Julius Randle.
And the humility part certainly is there. So here's Brunson on how Lillard was named the starter.
Congrats to Damian Lillard.
Thank you.
thank you, Damian.
Deservedly so. And this is on – His goal, though, to make the All-Star team.
I mean, definitely is a goal of mine, but the most important thing is how we handle business, playing night in and night out. Obviously, it's an individual goal, but I wouldn't be in that position or have that opportunity for my teammates and the coaches. As long as we win, I think individual stuff comes our way.
And again, that is just exactly what you want to hear from a guy like that. He just talks about more about the team, and without our team success, I can't even talk about being an All-Star. All right, so let's have some fun. In the game, third quarter. Now, Brunson didn't play at all in the fourth quarter for once. Like, he didn't have to. That's how far and away the game was. But he had 21 points in three quarters in 27 minutes. And two of those points came off of a steal. And he went down the court, Bart, and he dunked the basketball with one hand. And he even looked up at the rim in shock that he was able to pull off the dunk, kind of like making fun of himself for being able to get up that high. So after the game, I interviewed Dante DiVincenzo for MSG Network. And when we were done with the interview, I just decided I'm going to ask him to rate his best friend's dunk. So this is the result.
So rate Jalen Brunson's dunk.
Oh, it was weak. It was like one. It's weak.
He gave it a one.
I mean, but let's be honest. He's probably like under 6 feet. If we really.
He's listed at 6'2".
Yeah, come on, man. Stop it. You, Alan, you're a very big man. You know what 6'2 looks like. Is he taller than me?
He's close. You guys are close.
Yeah, and because of hits, I think gravity brought me down to 5 to 6'1 and a quarter.
But how about his buddy just go, yeah, it's a one.
Yeah.
Just the way he said it, so like, deadpan. But he had a big smile on his face when he said it. He's like, yeah, that's a one.
it would have been funnier if he would have smacked the glass.
You know yeah.
Like, it just came down
or
a flex.
If he hung on it. Like, he couldn't even grab it enough to hang on it. You know, like, he couldn't even do that. But it was still funny. But of course, the low, you know, the one from the Russian judge brings us down the score. All right, to football we go. And so John Harbaugh coaching once again in the you talk about a guy that's had great success himself, but he is in the AFC Championship game once again with his Baltimore Ravens. And remember, he did once coach against his brother in the Super Bowl. You remember, obviously, when Jim was there with the 49ers.
That's how he got his first one.
Yeah. So now his brother is back in the NFL, this time with the Chargers. So here's John talking about Jim getting the Chargers job.
My thoughts are we play him next year. We're looking forward to all of it. You know, I'm just very happy for him, proud of him, excited for him, excited for his family. I heard my mom and dad told me that he called back in the evening and he found out that all of his kids, starting with Addie and Katie, had their bags packed already. They're ready to go. So they're excited too. So it's going to be great. He's well-deserved. And I'll say this, the Chargers just got themselves one great coach.
Go from Michigan to L.A.?
Yeah, do you know what the weather is? Matter of fact, half them clothes you packing, you can leave, but you ain't going to never need them out there.
Like, how
fat? Triple fat goose ski gear.
If you got a job as, like, the linebackers coach for the Chargers, right, how fast would your kids be? Like, you're like, I didn't even sign the contract yet. They're like, I already know what I'm bringing. Like,
and then they're going to say, Daddy, you buying us all new stuff. You just got paid. Peace. Yeah, we can leave all that. Yeah.
That's great.
Just leave the house. We'll Airbnb that out later.
Michigan is a beautiful place.
Sharon Moore can buy your house. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but it ain't L.A.
Ann Arbor's a beautiful place.
No, of course it is. It's
much
gorgeous.
Better than Detroit. I mean, it's amazing college town, man. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's only 40 minutes from the airport.
And as I said, he's got this big, beautiful compound up there where the whole family lives up there. Everybody's up there. And they love it, but
they've been doing it for years, too. And Kat and their whole family, that's how they got so used to it. Dad, I think, had a beach, a lake house up there in Canton, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you what, I wouldn't even say bye to my neighbors. It's been real.
He'll probably keep the place. Last but not least, Kayvon Thibodeau went on the 7 p.m. in Brooklyn podcast. You know, I think there's that's Mello and I forget the my brain is fried right now. Anyways, so here's Kayvon Thibodeau talking about Saquon Barkley and that whole situation there with the Giants. Remember that Daniel Jones got paid, and then Barkley had to take the one-year deal. So Thibodeau had some thoughts about that.
You paid Daniel Jones $40 million. It was a great I believe.
A lot of people was mad at that. Okay. A lot of people was mad at that, but I was like, listen.
Let me tell you what I'm mad at, and it's the only thing I'll say about that. What I'm mad about is that Saquon, because if you look at the game, the tape, Saquon was responsible for at least 30% of our explosive plays.
Oh, yeah. Not more.
Talking about the year we won the playoff game. So for me and for the integrity of working together and hard work, and we all believe the same things, I feel like Saquon should have got paid first. That's what I feel. And maybe, I don't know the back end. Maybe it's a franchise. Maybe it's an extension. Maybe it's blah, blah, blah. That's none of my business. I don't, you know,
that's just
I
can focus on me. That's the respect we was talking about.
Like, exactly. With the team chemistry and all that. Like, because we see it.
Why not? Like, when you think of Saquon, who you think of?
That's
Giants.
He's the face of the game.
How do you feel about that, Bart?
I mean, I feel him when you talk about, you know, your unquestioned leader on that team, Saquon Barkley. Feeling like he's been done wrong, and especially when he was such a big part of what they, you know, what they do and the success that they had. Unfortunately, you know, running backs aren't weighted with the same on the same scale as quarterbacks. It's just the reality of it. The shelf life, the ability to play at high levels for longer times, to be able to multiply the talent of other people.
Well, besides that, I mean, how do you feel about Thibodeau saying this the way he's saying it? That sounded to me like the locker room. He's echoing the locker room sentiments here. And if you're the Giants, that's something you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, you got to listen, right? You got to listen. But, you know, sometimes just because a player says it, no matter how good he is, doesn't affect the plan. You know, Shane has a plan. And if – you know, we were there with him, and he told us, like, hey, there's a lot of guys going to be available. Yep. Yes, Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Swift, there's going to be a lot of good running backs. Austin Eckler, Chris Henry. There's going to be a lot of guys there that will play for the $10 or $12 million that Saquon Barkley reportedly wouldn't play for.
It's an interesting, like I said, a very interesting take that he had there. By the way, the co-host with Mello is the kid Mero. No, I apologize for that, but there's a million podcasts out there. It's hard for me to keep up.
It's a billion,
All right, well, that's Audio Files. 800-919-3776 is the number, so we get back to your calls. Of course, 2 o'clock hour, we're getting to lunch money. We'll go on the betting side of the championship weekend that we have coming up in the NFL. We'll get back into the Knicks conversation, of course, 2 o'clock as well. I gave Bart a little bit of
homework.
Not homework, though, because it's like it's during the show. Preparing you for end-of-show pop quiz. So I want to get his reaction to a hit last night in the Islanders-Canadians game that while I was busy at the Garden, I was also had the Islander game on my phone on MSG Plus, by the way, just catching that whole action, Butch and Brendan calling the game there. And there was a hit that I'm telling you, like, I was furious. But I was more frustrated with the after effects of this, what happened afterwards. So I want to see what Bart thinks of it from a football perspective. Let's discuss that. Your call's coming up and more. Stay with us. Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is what I'm talking about. You know this song?
Nah, I don't know this one.
Oh, you have to know this song.
I heard this riff on his computer, though. I mean, on his guitar, though.
We got to get to the words. This is called Uprising. It's by Muse. If it's not on your workout mix, you're doing it wrong. But this is all about just, like, resistance. Not being held down.
Yeah.
Like you come flying out of the tunnel, you have this thing cranking in your stadium, I'll tell you that. ESPN New York presents an evening with Garrett Wilson, and it's hosted by us, Bart and Han. Bart's going to do all the work. I'm just going to drink. It's an intimate event.
Well, I got to drink because it's the last day I can enjoy life.
Probably. With the Jet star wide receiver, and your chance to score passes to this exclusive event includes food and beverage. Lots and lots of beverage. Just go to ESPNNewYork.com or Find the contest page on the ESPN New York app and submit your entry. An Evening with Garrett Wilson and Barton Hahn, brought to you by Corona and Sansone Auto Mall. So you watched the hit that Brendan Gallagher put on Adam Pellick last night. The Islanders and the Canadians played up in Montreal, and this was as dirty a hit as you could ever see in today's NHL. PK Subban, who used to play for the Canadians and I think was teammates with Gallagher, actually called them out for it on video. He even said, "Like, this dude needs to be suspended." Now he's supposed to have a call with the league today, and people are saying that the max he's going to get is like 5 games. You tell me what you saw, and could you do that on a football field?
No, this would be equivalent to like a blindside shot. Like, this is almost like they took that out of the game.
Perfect. Is this like a Vontaze Burfict kind of play?
Yeah, yeah. And, or also like a but at least that was a live play. Like when Warren Sapp de-cleated the lineman from Green Bay, and he told Sherman to put some pads on, type of stuff. Yeah. That was a cheap shot. Like, listen, it's one thing to you know, hit me. It's another thing to fool you with trickery before you know you're in a fight. So that's like a glance blowout. Like, hey, you're skating by, and he kind of jumped back and hit him with the elbow. Yeah, I feel like his teammates should have said, okay, man, if you want to do stuff like that, because we don't want to have to deal with that type of stuff the next time we play, you go ahead and you fight it out. You know what I'm saying? You go ahead and get her done. You know what I mean? If somebody come attack you, defend yourself. We won't let them. You know, of course, they can't jump you in hockey. So it's going to be one-on-one anyway, but you got to go ahead and take that L and go ahead and put your dukes up. Now, if you big and bad, then the dude that challenged you from the other team to protect their teammate, you kick his ass.
This is what I didn't like, because in the old days, but in the past, you'd have accountability immediately. Somebody's coming for you, and you got to fight him. But you're going to have to fight. This dude's tough. He's 5'9". He's tough. But still,
but he got him up out of there, though.
I'm sending somebody to come meet you, and we're going to have it out for what you did. And I tell you, if you know that's coming, you're not throwing elbows like that. You're not doing it. But you know that's not coming, because the linesmen, they all got around him protected him.
It's like Draymond.
It is like Draymond. But they wouldn't even let the Islanders get to him. They protected him and then shoved him in the penalty box. And it's like, if I was a linesman and you know that play happened, come get him, boys. I'll pull him off you once you've taken a few hits to the face, but you deserve a couple of hits to the face for this.
Well, if they protect him, they should have just started fighting him. You know what I'm saying?
The linesman, you're not doing that. You're trying to win a game. But to me, it's just where the league is going. I hated everything about it. But what bothers me even more is that Pellick's had concussions before. They just got him back. They can't afford to lose him. And now this senseless play happens. He could miss plenty of time.
Significant time. If he's already had one.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's had a couple. Because the league decided it was a phone hearing, not an in-person hearing. So if they would have summoned him to New York and had him come sit down and we're going to talk about this face-to-face, they didn't. They're offering it as a phone hearing. And the reports say that means, because it's a phone hearing, not in-person, the most they can suspend him for 5 games. Now, Pellick's going to miss more than 5. He could possibly miss more than 5. This guy's going to miss a week and a half of hockey.
Do they play again?
In April. Late April.
April.
When you're trying to make the playoffs and you really can't, unless you're out of it.
No. You know what I tell my team? Win. Win now, because in April, we might not win that game. So let's make sure we don't need that game. We'll send our message that you don't ever. And the message is not only for like them. The message is for everybody. If you ever want to take a dare with us, we are diabolical enough to remember and sit on it and get our retribution.
It just doesn't make sense. The guy's never been suspended. He's been in the league a long time. He does play with an edge.
But it's because he's small.
But he's never been suspended.
It's because he's small.
But I hate the fact that it's just like he needed retribution. That's small, the one thing about the sport you used to have, and you don't have that anymore.
Checks and balances. See, small people get away with stuff because they're small. But when they're big, it's like, oh, this big dude doing it, we got to suspend him, right? But because dude little, they let him get through. Oh, he's so little, he's just so scrappy, he's so tough, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like how Isaiah used to get away with, you know, some of the bad boy stuff. Like, he's so little, you know what I mean, like that. When somebody get in it, but, you know, somebody bigger do that, then they take it differently. You know what I mean? Little people get away with stuff, man.
Well, I mean, in this case, it just was annoying, and I'm glad you said what you said. All right, we go into the Power Hour on a Friday, on a Football Friday. We're going to open up your lunch box and get you some lunch money on these games this weekend with Alex Monaco. We got calls to get to as well at 800-919-3776. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Usually it takes a while before you can accurately judge how a trade worked out. At least in the early going, though, Knicks fans are pleased with the deal for OG Anunoby. Last night, Knicks crushing the Denver Nuggets at the Garden. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said Knicks fans can dream about the Eastern Conference Finals.
Will this team be good enough in a seven-game series to get by Milwaukee or Boston? I think that's where they're at, because we keep saying it, and I think you're right. There's Milwaukee and there's Boston, and then there's that second-tier teams.
Right, and maybe we're at the top of that second-tier teams with Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'd say we probably are, and we are looking to get better at the deadline with whatever they decide to do.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because, one, it is game time. It's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.